I want to talk with you this morning from the subject, the Waymaker. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be walking through Exodus chapter 14. I have to prevail upon your personal knowledge of the beginning of Israel, the story of Israel, and pick it up right here so that we can pay special attention to revisiting, learning again, perhaps learning for the first time, and applying how we respond to the Red Seas in our lives. There are lessons in this text that in our present distress, whether it be COVID-19, whether it be relational dysfunction, whatever the Red Sea is in our lives, we want to learn some lessons so that we can walk through the Red Sea with God. God specializes in parting the waters. Pharaoh had finally given Moses permission to lead God's people out of Egypt. And this time he was serious. Or was he? Once Israel started on their journey, Pharaoh changed his mind. He realized he had just lost tens of thousands of slaves, and without a pool of free labor, his own people would have now to do the work. So he assembled his army and set out after God's people. The Israelites had come to the mouth of the Red Sea and set up camp at a place called Pi Hahiroth. Then all of a sudden, they noticed Pharaoh's army approaching. More than 600 chariots in hot and full pursuit in front of Israel, the Red Sea. Behind Israel, Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. On both sides, mountains. Nowhere to turn. Amen. Nowhere to turn. It appeared in the moment as if their only options, their only choices were to be killed in battle. And keep in mind, these are not warriors, they're slaves. All they got is some manna, some showbread, boom, boom, right? They're slaves. Their only choices were to be killed in battle or to drown trying to get across the Red Sea. If you don't mind, situation impossible. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a cul-de-sac, so to speak? One way in, into a dead end? Perhaps a strained relationship, see? All of us have been there, haven't we? At one point or another, some of us are there right now when it comes to the COVID-19, see? Really challenging. A financial stress, see? A prodigal child or a prodigal parent, see? A failing health or a health challenge, see? Problems at work, see? And regardless of what we call it, we face times that seem somehow to overwhelm us. We see no way out. Sometimes we want to give up. Ever felt like just giving out? Quit. Throw your hands up in the air. Give in. Fear freezes us. panic paralyzes us. Anxiety and worry consumes us. Depression grips us. And loneliness besets us. I stopped by today to remind my beloved brothers and sisters that God will make a way. God is a way maker. Let's talk a little bit about this one way in, dead end, a cul-de-sac, if you will. It's a road that leads to nowhere. In the Red Sea story, God's people followed the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they did so as carefully as they possibly could. Of course, they were thrilled and excited about their newfound freedom and about their future being delivered from slavery in Egypt. Yet, as they followed God, God himself deliberately led them into a cul-de-sac. Hostile, can you see it? Hostile hills to the right and left. They're right at the mouth, if you will, of the Red Sea. And the Red Sea was too deep and too wide to be crossed. And Pharaoh's army is breathing down their necks. Notice in the text that was read, Exodus 14, verse 1 and 2. There is an unmistakable implication. In other words, it's not stated explicitly, but it's implied. The Lord took full responsibility for leading his people into a dead end, or what appeared to be a dead end. God had given them specific step-by-step instructions leading them down a route to ruin. The text suggests, turn and camp. Camp there. Right there before the Red Sea. Right there. In an impossible situation. I wonder if we could talk for a minute. I wonder, church, could it be that the Lord our God does the same thing with us? Testing our faith. Leading us into difficulty. Teaching us wisdom, shaping destinies, showing us his ways. And sometimes when we are not as careful as we should be, our first reaction might be a panic rush or a panic attack, overwhelmed with a sense of alarm. Beloved, we need to learn to check with Scripture for the guidance of God. Whenever you are in a difficult place, situation impossible, realize that God either placed you there or allowed you to be there for reasons perhaps known for now or in the moment only to God. Or let me put that another way. The same God who led you in is the same God who will lead you out. I said the same God who led you in or who allowed you to be in situation impossible is the same God who will let you out.
Amen, amen, hallelujah.
Sometimes we find ourselves in impossible situations. And the word of scripture says, God knows the way that he takes. Even if for the moment you and I don't know, God knows. And as a result, our whole perspective, our whole mindset changes when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. And we realize that the Lord himself either placed us there or allowed us to be there. And perhaps for reasons in the moment known only to God himself. You remember Hagar? Hagar was a single mother, forced into the desert with her son to die of thirst. You remember Joseph? God had put a dream in his heart to deliver, I call it a God dream, to deliver his people, to deliver his people from famine. And Joseph, wanting to fulfill his God dream, was seized, stripped, sold as a slave, amen, and put in prison in Egypt. Impossible situations, not orchestrated, ordered by God. Moses got caught between the grandeur and the beauty of Egyptian royalty, being raised in the king's palace, and thankless affliction with the people of God. David, anointed by Samuel, was hunted by Israelite troops. Jesus' disciples one night had set sail at the command of Jesus, only to face a terror night of storms and waves. Jesus himself, in obeying his Father's will, was nailed to a cross and left there hanging until death. The apostles, in preaching the crucified Christ, many of them were horsewhipped. The leader of the apostolic band later wrote. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Read it again with freshness, please. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, what does the Bible say?
The Bible says, beloved.
Beloved.
Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you.
Which is to try you, to test you. Read.
As though some strange thing happened unto you.
Listen, if you're a child of God, if you're a member of the church that Jesus Christ built, if your life is devoted to being a follower of Jesus, we ought not to be surprised when in seeking to do the will of God, we find ourselves trapped in painful, frightening, difficult, impossible situations. I'll tell you what I'm learning. Life is hard. Especially when you're a child of God, striving to do the will of God. The question is not, why is life hard? The question is, how will you and I respond to the hardness, the toughness of life? Tough times blindside us. And the reason they do that is because we sometimes think we should be exempt from suffering. No Christian, no disciple of Jesus has such an exemption. Amen, church. Not to mention, we have a determined enemy seeking to devour us, to destroy, to take us out, to destroy our faith. I'm so glad in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, turn in your Bibles and read it afresh. John chapter 16 and verse number 33, the Bible says what?
These things I have spoken unto you.
These things I have spoken unto you. Listen to this.
That in me ye might have peace.
Read.
In the world ye shall have tribulation.
That's a warning, church. That's a warning. In this world,
ye shall have tribulation.
We're going to deal with some tribulation. There's going to be some tough stuff on the way to glory land. Read.
But be of good cheer.
Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Read.
I have overcome the world.
I have overcome the world. Regardless of how the world beats you down, you have every reason to live with bold faith. Even though it can get foggy out here, even though the rains are going to fall and the floods are going to rise and contrary winds are going to blow, it could get COVID-19 foggy up in this world. But God allows our faith to be tried, to be tested, and he permits troubles to crowd our lives. Sometimes they seem more than we can bear, but Jesus can bear it. And who is Jesus? He is the sovereign King over all of the world. He defeated sin. Praise God. He defeated Satan. Praise God. He defeated death. He took out our enemies. He has the power to overrule your and my earthly circumstances. I wish I had a church. He has the power to overrule. And knowing this truth and maintaining an intimate relationship with him can radically change our whole perspective, regardless to the obstacles that come our way. Praise God. Hallelujah. The first step to parted waters, get this, is to daily remind ourselves that God has either put us in this situation impossible, or he has allowed us to be there for reasons only he knows. Just say, God knows. Just say, God knows. When the strong winds blow and it looks like the winds ain't gonna stop blowing, just say, God knows. When you have more bill at the end of your check, just say, God knows. When family and loved ones ain't got no act right, just say, God knows. God knows. There are no mistakes in the plan of God. He does all things well. And to the child of God, there is no such thing as an accident. God travels an appointed way. I was reading about a pastor in somewhere in Africa. And he was going through a real difficult situation. Crisis had kicked his door down and just invaded his life. And he gathered himself in the study and sat there long for a long while, quietly, prayerfully, and thoughtfully. His mind flew, if you will, on Jesus, and he picked up his pen and listened to what he wrote. He wrote, first, God brought me here. It is by his will that I am in this straight place, and in that I will rest. God brought me here. Amen. Next, he wrote, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace to behave as his child. Woo! Y'all know what the word keep means? Keep means to guard, to protect, to build a fortress around. Then he wrote, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he wants me to learn, and working in me the grace he means to bestow. And then last he wrote, in his good time, he can bring me out again. Ooh. In his good time. How and when? He knows. Preacher says, keep me, Lord. Now, let's make the application. You and I are here. One. By God's appointment. Amen. Two, We are here in God's keeping. Three, we are here under God's training. Amen. And four, we are here for God's time or for God's timing. By his appointment, in his keeping, under his training, and for his timing. That's a word right there. You've witnessed God's power, haven't you? Haven't you been in a situation where you thought you would not be able to take the next step? You threw your hands up in the air and said, if God don't show up, I'm through. And what happened? What happened, church? He showed up, didn't he? Huh? He showed out? I'll never forget one time I was doing real bad. We were doing real badly. You guys know I'm a drug and alcoholic in recovery. I was broke. I had spent all my money and my family was, boy, and I tell you, my daddy sent me $1,000 out of the clear blues. I didn't have to ask him for it. I begged him for money all my life. Of course, he said no. He told me to go get a job. Out of the clear blue sky, my daddy wrote me a check for $1,000. That don't seem like nothing to you, but I used to call him what they call those people who are tight with money? What they call those people who are tight with money? A tight one? No, that's not what I'm looking for. Anyway, bless his heart. Yeah, a miser. Thank you. A miser. He was tight. He was really tight. But, hey, I ain't complaining. I never wanted for nothing, right? I never wanted for nothing. Now, let's go to Psalm 37. Let's go to Psalm 37. Let's go to Psalm 37. The same God who carried you this far, is my point, isn't going to drop you now. You understand what I'm saying? The same God who brought you through, who carried you, is not going to drop you now. COVID-19 or not. In Psalm 37 and verse 23 and 24, turn in your Bibles. Let's go there and read it afresh. What does the Bible say?
The
steps of a good man. I hear you, King. Read.
Are ordered
by God. Who's in charge? God is. Read.
And he delighteth in his way.
And he delights in his way. Read.
Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down.
You ain't staying down.
For
just
the Lord.
Just because you fall. Wait. Here's a point. Here's a preaching point. Just because you fail don't mean you have to stay fallen.
Amen.
Just because you fail, don't mean you have to stay fallen. Read. For the Lord, come on, read, King. Unmute. Come on, King, read. Okay, for the Lord upholds him.
For the Lord upholds him.
There he go.
With his hand.
With his hand. With whose hand?
The Lord's hand.
With the Lord's hand. The Lord upholds you with his own hand. You know what that, that means? That God has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. He will never forget. He will never forget. He will never forget you. He will never abandon you. I said, God will never abandon you. Let's go to this passage in the book of Lamentations. There's a sister who's been bothering me with this verse for all week, just been bothering me with this verse in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. Help me, somebody. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. You know the Lord, his love never ceases.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
Verse 22. Wait, back up to verse 22, King. Back up to verse 22. I know I threw this one, but come on. Verse 22, 22. Lamentation. Yeah, 22.
It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not.
All right. Okay, all right. All right, you're reading. He's reading in another version, right?
The this version is, this I remember. A King James version.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, my brother. So much appreciate you reading with me and for us. And listen, one version says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's what steadfast means. You know what steadfast means? Never quit. Whoa. We've had some of our loved ones experience loss in their families. It's been like that for a minute. Seemed like when the season started, it just kept on going. Listen, let me remind you. It does not mean the Lord's love quit on you. Never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Verse 23, King. Come back, King.
I'm back. Verse 23.
Yeah.
They are new every morning. Every morning.
Did you hear that? I wish this sister was preaching right now because she was screaming all over the place. I had to move the phone from my ear. The mercies of God are new. New every morning. You know what that means, beloved? It doesn't matter what we're going through. Every morning he allows us to wake up, we'll have all the mercy we need. Preach, Lopez. Anybody need mercy up in here tonight, today? Every day. It's a new beginning with God. Every day is a new beginning with God. That's why you have to read your Bible every day. Amen. So when you find yourself in a tight spot, right? Remember daily that you and I are here by God's appointment. In his keeping, underneath his training, and for his timing. And my last word on that is, there is no better place to be. That was a good place for an amen. Right? That's a good place for an amen. Just pat your toes or something. You know, just shake your head or something. There is no better place to be than where the Lord wants you to be, even if you're in a cul-de-sac. I'm getting ready to close. What if it's my fault? Yeah, you heard me right. What if we landed in a situation impossible, and it's not because God led us there, but because we followed what we wanted Anybody, am I talking to anybody up in here? Isn't much of our suffering because of our own selfishness, our own sheepishness? So see one sister nodding her head. That was another good place for an amen. You know, confession. All right. So what then? What if I'm in a tight spot and I'm the one who chose to be there? Hear the word of God when I say, genuine repentance puts us back into the will of God. And confession shortcuts us from waywardness back to the straight and narrow. We need to pay attention to this. When we genuinely repent, when we for real repent of our sins, God casts them as far as the east is from the west. Somebody say, glory, glory, glory. Our hearts are cleansed. And our fellowship with God is restored. Now, some of the consequences might linger longer. But here's the good news. God will even use them for our good. Oh, Lord. The forgiveness of God allows us to forgive ourselves. I want to show you that. Let's go to Genesis 45 and verse 5, right? And Mark Genesis 50 and verse 19. We'll get there in a minute. Let's go to Genesis 45 and verse 5. Turn your Bible. Let's read afresh today, all right? Let's read afresh today. Genesis 45 verse 5 says what?
Now, therefore, be not grieved.
Don't be grieved.
Nor angry.
Don't get angry.
With yourself.
With yourself.
That ye sold me hither.
That you sold me hither.
For God did send me before you to preserve life.
Oh my goodness. Don't listen. Stop. Y'all, did you hear that? Maybe he needs to read that again. King, I think you need to read that again.
Now, therefore, be not grieved.
Don't be grieved.
Nor angry.
Don't be sorrowful. Read.
Nor angry with yourself.
Don't beat up on yourself. Because you know what you did. Amen. You know what you did. But don't beat yourself up with a billy club over your own head. I'm talking to somebody. I'm not talking to somebody besides me. Read.
That he sold me hither.
He sold me hither.
For God did send me before you to preserve life.
For God sent me before you.
To preserve life.
To preserve. See, God's plan has no accidents. He travels an appointed and anointed way. He can't make a mistake. He does everything well. Stop beating up yourself. Okay, let's go to Genesis 50. Pick it up, verse 19.
And Joseph said unto them.
Joseph said unto them.
Fear not.
Yeah. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Read.
For am I in the place of God?
Am I in the place of God? Read.
But as for you, ye thought evil against me.
You thought evil against me. Wait, hold. Put your finger there, Doc. Listen. When stuff comes down in your life as a result of how people treat or mistreat you. You're feeling me? I don't have to preach that, do I? You're feeling me? They may mean it for evil. But by the time God gets finished with it, it's going to be for your good.
Amen.
Stop beating yourself up. Right? And by the way, I'm there. Don't let other folk beat you up either. Read. I'm in trouble, King. Read. I'm in trouble. Read, King. Come back, King. Genesis 50.
I'm sorry. I'm back. But as for you, ye thought evil against me.
You thought evil against me.
But God meant it unto good.
But God made it good.
To bring
God
to pass.
God made it good. His brothers sold him into slavery. Told his father he was dead. But God made it for good. Read.
To bring to pass. As it is this day.
To save much people.
People alive.
Alive. All right. Forgiveness of self arrives when you realize that if or since God has forgiven you because you've genuinely repented. Do you know how you know when you genuinely repented? Not just because you got caught. Maybe I should use the pronoun. Not just because I got caught. But because I realized what I did offends God, the heart of God. So, godly sorrow is what worketh repentance. Godly sorrow. There is a difference. We need not hate ourselves any longer. Stop beating yourself up. For we know that God works all things together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Once we take care of genuine repentance and confession, God picks us up right there where we get right. Lord have mercy. And now we can start again wherever we are with our Red Sea and whatever our Red Sea is. I gotta go. Remember, beloved, that God in his overruling providence, the sovereign God in his overruling providence, has allowed you to be where you are right in this moment. And when God fixes your position, when God fixes your position for you, you can rest assured you are where He wants you to be. Even if we foolishly, we sheepishly, we selfishly and willfully choose a position for ourselves, God graciously overrules our foolishness and causes the influences of our self-chosen circumstances to work for our spiritual benefit. Nobody but God can do that. Only God. So what am I saying? I'm glad you asked, church. Trust God. Because He is a way maker. And just because you can't see the way doesn't mean that God will not make a way. Just because you can't see the way, God will make a way. It doesn't mean that he won't make a way. Things are getting pretty dismal with the way the world is responding to COVID-19. And I know that you're thinking about it. Some of us are worried still. Can't hardly go outside and people acting out. They're not wearing a mask and all that stuff. And you got to walk right by them. And some of them are huffing and puffing. God will make a way. Trust God. Trust God. Stay with God. Be responsible. But don't allow how the world is responding to cause you to forget that God will make a way. So I'm asking you, what's your Red Sea? You're either coming out in one or you're heading to one. What's your Pharaoh that's breathing down your neck? You can hardly think right. What's your Pharaoh? What's your Red Sea? What mountains do you see when you look to your left and to your right? If you're feeling like your situation is impossible, my word from the word to you is God will make a way. He is a way maker. If you hear, church, and you're giving up, if you hear and you're just going along with the flow, if you hear and your relationship with God is not growing stronger every day, don't let your Red Sea or your Pharaoh cause you to forget. Instead, use it to remember that God will make Oh, you don't have to see it. You just have to trust in him that he will make a way. And if you're here today and your trust is not wholehearted, I'm talking to you. Confess it and repent of it. And watch our God pick you. Watch God take you back and put you back where you belong. But you got to repent. You got to confess and you got to be for real about it. Perhaps you're here today and you're not a member of the church that Jesus built. You're not a follower of Christ. Your devotion is all over the place. We're glad you're here. Because you're here either because he led you here directly or he allowed you to come. Decide to be baptized into Christ. That's his will for you. Whatever your Red Sea is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
You're here because God wants you to be saved. Believe that he sent his only begotten son to a cruel cross of Calvary. Oh, what love. Oh, what love. And respond to that love by wanting no longer to live for yourself, but to live for God. Be dead to you and be alive unto God. That's called repentance. Be willing to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized in water. 3,000 did it in the same hour Peter preached on that same day that Peter preached. You can do it too. Be saved today. But whatever you do, please don't just hear this word without being willing to do whatever it says. Our Father, pray with me. Our Father, we acknowledge you as sovereign God, in charge, great, nobody greater than you. And it's by your providence that we are here today. Help us in whatever our Red Sea is, even COVID-19. We are trusting fully that you mean for us to be where we are in spite of. And you see more clearly what our Red Sea is. Thank you for bringing us out of Egypt. And we pray that you'll bring others even today who have not yet said yes to you, that you bring them out of slavery to sin even today by being baptized into Christ. And help us, make us, oh God, into trusting children who trust you wholeheartedly that you'll make a way. That you'll make a way for us. bless us, help us to do whatever this word says for us to do as we respond to your preached word, even right now, as we pray with thanksgiving in the name, in the precious name of Jesus. Let the church and the people of God say, amen.